Easter, everyone. We are so glad that you guys are here. And if we have any visitors today, we are so glad that you chose to join us as we celebrate our risen Lord. We have a couple announcements today. If you haven't signed up for the prayer breakfast, please get in touch with Richard. It's coming up on May 5th. Pastor John also was asking me to announce this morning for the men's breakfast at Pinewoods Chapels. It's next Saturday. So if you could please let him know today if you are coming so he can get all the numbers into the pastor there. Also, if you are currently in the membership process, you have a next meeting on May 17th at 10 a.m. And it's not too late for others to join. So if you... April 17th at 10 a.m. And if you have been considering membership and being a part of this church family in a larger capacity, we would love to have you join that. Speak to Pastor John. The Easter egg hunt is today at 4 p.m. If you haven't signed up, you're not too late. We'd love to have you. If you have any grandkids visiting, please bring them along. I want you guys to turn to your bulletins if you have them. Everything that you need to know for our midweek programs are on the back. You can turn to that throughout the week. On Monday, every Monday, we have the prayer gathering with Dan and Joyce at 2 p.m. So please join them for that. We also have our community meal from 5 till 7, which is an outreach here at the church. If you would like to be a part of that, you can speak to me. Tomorrow, we are doing a little bit more of a fancier dinner. We're doing a ham dinner. So if you would like to contribute to that, we are still looking for desserts or vegetable sides. At this point, we do have enough hams. And what else? Tuesday, we have reflections. You can get in touch with Leanne at 2 p.m. Wednesday, we have Ladies Visionary at 10 a.m. You can get in touch with Sheila White. Thursday, we have the Bible Discussion Night at 7 p.m. You can speak with Carl or Jim Wilms. And we also have Saturday night prayer. I just noticed it is over here. It's at 7 p.m., so please speak to Jim or Grace about that. If you need any spiritual care, the pastoral team is on the bottom, so you can get in touch with us if you need anything else. Thank you.
Happy Easter, church. How are we doing this morning? What a beautiful day. Amen. Why don't we all stand together as we worship this morning? And by your might, Jesus was raised from the grave. And Father, you have paved the way for us to have a new life with you in the resurrected power. Lord Jesus, we praise you, God, for your great strength. We praise you for your lavish love, Lord Jesus, that was demonstrated upon the cross for us. We praise you, Lord, that you are a conqueror. You are our Father. Great and awesome God you are. Oh God, we praise you and worship you, and we adore you this morning. Lord, we also thank you for your faithfulness, God. Out of your great mercy and out of your great abundance of mercy, you have given us so much, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord Jesus. And today, Lord, we give you this offering today, and with it, we worship you and we give our whole selves to you as well, Lord. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and for your glory. And Lord, also be with the children now as they go to their Sunday schools. And be with them, Lord Jesus. And be with their teachers, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. And we ask you all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Tonga and praise team. Great time of worship. And well, I think we were all a praise team this morning, right?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, from the sound of it. Yeah, it's a good morning to praise the Lord. Well, every Sunday morning that we gather here is a time to join our hearts, voices, and praise the Lord. We do have a number of needs to pray for this morning, and the needs that people have don't take a vacation, right? We still have to pray even on Easter Sunday for those who are struggling. So this morning we want to continue to remember both Robert and Bob Larson as well. Bob Larson should be close to the end of his treatments, I think, but perhaps another week of that. So We'll continue to remember him as well as Robert. Also, we want to remember Shauna's niece, Emily, who was recovering from a difficult C-section, and Rob Bowman, who's home from hospital now. He is having off and on struggles with congestive heart failure. So,
Shauna says her niece's prayers have been answered. She's fine now.
Okay. Okay, well, we can praise the Lord for that. Vivian's been struggling with dizzy spells. No real diagnosis there. Any update on that, Bob?
She still has the problem. She fell over again this morning.
Oh, that's true.
Unfortunately, she fell on the bed. Soft fall. But she's still struggling, and she managed to bring a bad chest wound home with her from the hospital.
Yeah, that's difficult. I'm sure she wants to be here with the rest of us this morning, so we'll pray for her. Also, the Clark's friend Louise lost her husband Jim this past week, and we'll remember that. Also, Grace is having some physical difficulties, heart flutter, and so on this morning as well, so we'll remember her. And we'll pray for spiritual fruitfulness for from our Monday night community meals, too. So join your hearts with me. Let's bring these things to the Lord today. Lord God, it is a great morning. It is a beautiful Easter morning, the kind of Easter morning that we wish for, Lord. Bright, sunny, warm, but Lord, even better is the warmth of your love as we gather together in unity today to celebrate the resurrection. God, as we think again in a special way of the incredible day, the incredible power that raised Jesus from the dead. Lord, it's with joyful hearts that we raise our praise to you today. And Lord, even though we are praising you, we are also concerned for our friends and our family members who are struggling with various kinds of difficulties. And again, I want to pray for everyone in this room, Lord, anyone facing difficult decisions or relationships, circumstances, God, illnesses. Lord, in all of these things, you make us more than conquerors, Lord, and we pray that you will help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and to have strong faith through the circumstances that come our way, Lord. We pray for strength and for your wisdom. We pray for healing and forgiveness. Lord, we pray for patience as well. God, you know that patience is oftentimes a difficult characteristic for us to have, but we know it's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. And so, God, we pray that you'll give us all of these blessings that come to us because of Jesus and your Spirit within us. And, Lord, we set these folks that we have mentioned this morning, we set them aside for your special consideration and for your intervention in their lives. Lord, we want to continue to pray for Robert and for Bob as they are undergoing treatments for their health, and Robert especially for his cancer. God, we lift them up to you and pray for a touch of healing in their lives, God, from you, Lord Jesus, who are the great physician, who touched so many lives when you walked this earth and when you encountered so much need, Lord. In your great mercy, you healed, and Lord, we cry out to you for that again this morning for these ones who are in such difficulty. We also want to remember others. Lord, we pray for Rob Bowman, struggling with congestive heart failure. God, we also think of Vivian with these dizzy spells, and Grace having some heart flutter. God, I pray that you will come to these folks and that you will touch them and relieve their suffering. Lord, I pray for Vivian that there would be some sort of diagnosis that would be conclusive, Lord, but again, a touch of healing in her life. And Lord, we thank you for the answers of prayer that you're going to bring in all of these situations. Lord, we praise you that Shauna's niece is doing well after some difficulty in the delivery of her son. And Lord, we also want to remember the Clark's friend, Louise, who lost her husband this past week. And Lord, this is a difficult time for her in this time of loss. And so we pray that you will surround her with your comfort and peace. And Lord, surround her with family and friends who can console her and give her encouragement in this time of loss. And So, Lord, I pray that in all of this that you would show yourself to be a good God. And, Lord, we also think, too, of our Monday night community meals, and we pray, God, that you would bring spiritual fruit from that. God, we see people who are coming, regular guests who are, as we get to know them, we understand that they are searching and that there's a spiritual need in their lives. Some of them even know you, Lord, and we thank you for that. But we pray, God, that you would give us opportunity, open doors to share Jesus with the ones that we have gotten to know on these Monday nights that we've been together. And we pray for the forward movement of that opportunity too, God, as we make plans for the summer. We pray that you would bless that, and as your Spirit leads us forward, that there would be even greater open doors through the summer months when we're outdoors and the weather's warm. So God, oversee that, and God, we pray that you would continue to lead us and direct us. So, Lord, we're thankful for all that you give to us in Jesus. We thank you that because of his blood, we have the incredible opportunity of being here present at the mercy seat. Lord, we are in great need of mercy. We look to you for all that we need, and we thank you for the grace that comes to us because of your love, because of the obedience of Jesus, and we thank you for him, and we pray in his name. Amen.
Our scripture reading for today is John 20, 1-18. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight to the tomb. He said the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she went over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said things to her. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God and Heavenly King, give Tonga a fresh anointment of your Holy Spirit. Fill him with patience and peace. Pour into his heart the joy of the Lord. And may the oil of God's gladness be his portion. Set his heart alight with your love, and keep him rejoicing in the Lord and in the power of his strength. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Growing up in a church, we hear about the death and resurrection our whole life. And just so you know, If there's no resurrection of Christ, today we won't have Christianity. The resurrection is everything that we need, everything that we need for our faith. So the death of Jesus was a necessary sacrifice for our sin. However, the resurrection was a victory over sin and death. In the movie, It Could Happen to You, I don't know if you guys have seen this movie. Has anyone seen this movie? There you go. Okay. It's a great movie. A New York cop named Charlie is having coffee in a little diner. He finishes up and starts to pay and discovers he only has enough money for the coffee, but nothing left for the tip. So he offers a waitress a choice. He will return the next day with double tip, or he will split the winnings, if any, of the lottery tickets that he just bought. Okay? So Yvonne wasn't really wanting to hear none of that because her day had been already bad enough, and she wasn't really thrilled of losing tips, no matter how small they might be. So her life isn't the greatest. She didn't like her job. She was a waitress, and that very same day, she had to declare bankruptcy because her husband, who just left her, ran up the credit card bill, and she was just helplessly, hopelessly. She was like, you know what? Whatever comes, I'll take it. So she made a deal with Charlie, and she said, okay, you know what? Forget about the little pocket change, and she takes up Charlie on his offer of half the lottery ticket potential winnings. Well, surprise, surprise, the ticket beats the odds, okay? So, and she wins how many million dollars, Katie? Do you remember? $4 million. By the way, it is supposed to be a true story, okay? $4 million. Charlie comes to the diner the next morning, so give Yvonne the good news and her tip for serving a cup of coffee. A little change that she's expecting now, half of $4 million, how much? $2 million. That's pretty good, right? $2 million. Can you imagine Yvonne's reaction to this good news? At first, obviously, utter disbelief, not sure, is this really true? And could these things ever happen to me? But Charlie insisted that he's not joking. And a tiny flicker of hope registers deep inside her heart. And she said, can this really be true, or is this just a prank or a really cruel joke? She wasn't sure. But he assured her and says, yes, you are the owner of half of my lottery tickets, which is $2 million. Well, the little New York diners is a scene of unexpected, overwhelming, hard to believe joy. In the same way, the resurrection of Christ is just like that, because it was too good to be true. Our theme for this morning message is, next slide please. Christ's resurrection provides both truth, rational, and grace. Resurrection provides truth and grace. And for the first point, here's what I mean by the truth, rational. And some of the sections of my sermons are taken from Keller's sermon notes, and I find him very inspiring, and so I'm going to borrow some of his sermon notes this morning. And so as we have heard this morning from our scripture reading, we see John and Peter coming in there to the tomb, and Mary Magdalene was the first one who finds out about the empty tomb and runs and tells Peter. And you know Peter, you know his personality. He wanna know what's going on. And he was missing Jesus. He was dead for the past 3 days. And you know what just happened before Jesus was crucified? He denied Christ. How many times?
Three
times. And here, all feeling guilty, but wanting to know what's going on. And he came running inside the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' body, Jesus' head. Now it says, Peter went into the tomb and saw. The word saw, it's not the normal Greek word for blepo. But a Greek word that's used here is theorei. Theorei, from which we get a word theorize. And it is a word that that means to observe something intently while looking for an explanation. Observing something intently, looking for an explanation. Which, by the way, is essentially rationality. You're looking at the evidence, and you are looking at something, and you are thinking. In fact, probably Peter was thinking something like this. If normal grave robbers stole the body, why in the world would they have left behind the linen, right, with all the valuable spices in them? And in fact, why wouldn't they take away the stuff that keeps the body from smelling? Okay? And these are some of the resurrection theory that people are going against Christianity. And in the same sense, grave robbers, if the disciples, there's a claim to that the disciples stole the Jesus' body, okay? If the disciples had done that, why would they dishonor Jesus' body by just leaving it naked, because they left all the linen clothes and the body, the cloth that was wrapped around Jesus' head? You see what's going on here? Peter is reasoning and thinking. Why do I point this out? Because many people think today that if you're a Christian, you have just decided to believe. Furthermore, people think that Christianity are people who just believe without really thinking through. They just believe what they want to do. But we realize that that's not the case in this. It took a lot of evidence and reasoning for the disciples to believe. By the way, that is how Christianity works. It takes a lot of reasoning and thinking. And out of the many shreds of evidences that we have, we're going to look only to two examples this morning, okay? Because of time-wise. One of them is Mary Magdalene herself, okay? Celsus, C-E-L-S-U-S, Celsus, a second century early Greek philosopher who hated Christianity, wrote one of the first intellectual attacks on Christianity, showing why it is specious and why it didn't work philosophically and why it wasn't true. Well, his main argument is that his main argument was around Mary Magdalene herself. And get ready to hear this. This is what he said. How can anyone expect rational men to listen to the testimony of, quote, hysterical female? Ouch. Crazy, huh? Well, now, remember, though, this is a time when women's status was very low, just so you understand, okay? It was very, very low. However, it is interesting to know that in every gospel account, Mark, Matthew, John, and Luke, all say that the first witnesses to the risen Christ were women, not men. And therefore, what Celsus did was absolutely right, right? In some ways, his attack on Christianity is expected, because historians will say that if you're going to invent stories, especially about resurrection, you are not going to use women as the first witnesses of Christ. There's no way that you're going to do that. However, though, if you think more about it, the only historical plausible explanation for why a woman are in the gospel accounts as the first witnesses are simply because they were. You see that? Because there's no reason why they're going to use women just to prove their point when it's not true. Because women were, that's why that's the only plausible explanation that it was women who first witnesses Christ, the risen Lord. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we see Paul writing, hundreds of people saw Jesus after he rose again. And at one time, about 500 of them saw Jesus after he rose again. So we do have eyewitnesses. We do have, when the Bible was written around 10, 20, 30, 80, there are still people who have saw the risen Christ. So they could witness that Jesus was risen from the dead. Remember I said, the resurrection is very important for Christianity. Without the resurrection, we're not going to have Christianity. Okay, that's why it's important for us to think these things. Whenever thing comes against you, you think, you pause, and you see if this is true or not. And by the way, that's how Christianity works. And here's the second example from our modern times. As many of you have heard and seen the movie, The Case of Christ, Richard, right? And is that you that, I think I came to your house to watch that movie. And Lee Strobel is an atheist. He was an investigative reporter and legal editor for the Chicago Tribune newspaper. And Lee's Strobel's wife became Christian, and he began to investigate the claim of Christianity. Because he's not a Christian, his wife became a Christian, and there's a lot of change in his wife's life. But since he did not believe in Jesus, in Christianity, he's like, okay, you know what? Let me do a research. Let me prove Christian wrong. Let me prove them wrong. Let me prove the Bible wrong. That's basically what he sets out for. And through that journey, however, he became a believer and wrote a number of books as a result of his investigation. In this book, The Case of Christ, Lee wrote, I think I have it up there. The starting point seemed obvious to me. This is what he said. The resurrection was the center of the Christian faith. After all, anyone can claim to be the Son of God. But if someone could prove that by returning to life after being dead and buried, well, that would be a compelling confirmation that he was telling the truth. And he said, even for a skeptic like me. Well, after doing numerous research, traveling to lots and lots of places around the world, basically, in search of material to prove against the Bible, especially on the resurrection of Christ, he was left with no choice but came to an agreement that Bible is true. Christ has resurrected from the dead. And he said that every one of the apostles, as he studied, guys, so he did a thorough study on all the disciples. And he said the apostles, Jesus' 12 apostles, were tortured for their faith and for their belief that Jesus rose from the dead. And while there are all kinds of people who will lie, there are very few, he said, who will maintain that lie in the face of torture and death. And this is what he wrote in response to that. He says, the disciples didn't merely believe in the resurrection. They knew it was fact, not fiction. Had they known it was a lie, they would have never been willing to sacrifice their lives. He added, nobody willingly dies for something they know is false. It is fascinating to see Strobel's journey to disprove the Bible. While doing so, we realized that he reasoned and thought. And however, in the end, his honest exploration led him where he thought he would never reach. Romans 1:20 explains why this honest exploration ends in that way. Can we all read this together? For since the creation of the world, God's invisible so that people are without excuse. Amen? The truth is all around us, friends. An open heart takes us towards it. And for our second point today, his resurrection also provides grace. Grace and mercy that are too good to be true. Look at how gentle Jesus was. He asked Mary a question. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? In verse 5 of John 20. One commentator points out Mary's passion for Christ. She is obviously more of a lover than John and Peter himself. She's just weeping and weeping and looking for a Jesus dead body. And yet her understanding of Jesus is too small. Her cultural categories are keeping Jesus too small. Jesus needs to reveal himself to her because she was looking for the dead Jesus. Do you know that Mary Magdalene was with Jesus for a long time? She was traveling with Jesus in that last 3 years of ministry. And Jesus told her, you know what? I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back to judge the world. And I'm going to die and rose again. She heard all of that. She heard all of that. And she came to the tomb and still looking for the dead Jesus' body. Because she's looking from her human point of view. She can see God in the light of the heavenly realm. Keller says, Jesus doesn't return and reveal himself like Superman returns. Okay? Because when Superman returns, he saves a jetliner in the middle of a stadium of cheering people, millions of people on TV. But that's not how Jesus returns to Mary. He didn't say, it's me, Mary. He said, Mary. And the moment he called her, the moment she hears his voice, she knew exactly who he was. She knew that it was Jesus. Behold the mercy and grace of God. And that's how Jesus revealed herself to her, to him, to her. Because we are trying to see God in our human categories, but it's impossible to see in that. That's why Jesus has to reveal himself to her. He is risen, but he is still so gentle, full of mercy and grace. More than anything else, the way the risen Christ meets Mary is in some ways a summary of the whole passage of the Bible. We've come to know God only through Christ. Mary was looking for the dead body, but she couldn't find it. But Jesus revealed himself to her, and that's the only way that she can find it. And that's the whole Christianity in itself, because there's nothing that we can do to make us find God in our own strength. We cannot find Jesus in our human faith. We need the faith of Christ. It's through Christ. It's through by faith in Christ, through his grace. That's the only way that we can find Christ. John 14:6 says, I am the truth, the way, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me, through Christ. It is only possible through faith in Christ. So only if Jesus Christ breaks through, and only if he comes and opens your eyes, that you would see Jesus. Unless he helps you with your reasoning and thoughts, your logic will never work. And as we've seen that, because of our worldly categories and our worldly worldviews, many times we fail to see Jesus. And this has blinded us from seeing Jesus who he really is. Friends, brothers and sisters, God saves us by his grace. It is the fact that Jesus chose Mary to be the very first messenger to the world. She is the first person in the history to have met the risen Christ and be told, go and tell everyone else that I have risen. She is the first, in other words, she is the first person to proclaim good news, to proclaim the gospel. Isn't that crazy that Jesus would use in that culture a woman that some people even call hysterical female? Well, it is interesting, though, if you know Mary's background. It's interesting how God chooses people, because a few weeks ago I was preaching and said that when Jesus came, he came to seek and save the lost. He looked for the least. He would travel across the country, across the town, to meet a guy who was lame, who was unable to walk for more than 30 years. Just for him, he would go across the town. He'd go and look for the least, the needy, who are lost. And about Mary, in Luke chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, tells us that She had seven demons cast out of her. Did you know that? She had seven demons cast out of her. And whatever you think about it, just remember, if you go to Mark chapter 5, you have a picture of a real demoniac. So what is demoniac? In those days, they were people who wander around on the streets, half naked basically, hearing all these odd, crazy, weird voices, and they cut themselves with stones all over their bodies. Some will just cry out, and obviously because of all of that, they were social outcast. Okay? And they dwell among the tombs, mountains, and very often people will bind them with chains and fetters, and they'll beat them up sometimes. And this is who Mary was. Have you guys seen The Chosen movie? Have you seen the first episode? I think they described a little bit of that there, right there. And that was Mary. And she is, by the way, the first person Jesus picked to preach the good news. Not the Pharisees, not those all good people out there, but Jesus picked Mary, a lady who had seven demons and cast out. By Jesus, in his grace, will choose her to be the first person to preach the good news. And Jesus chose a woman, not a man, not the religious leader. And Jesus did not save on the basis of moral attainment, not based on record, not based on the good works that you do, not based on our good works. And he go and help people who think they are weak, not people who think they are strong. And that's what Jesus is drawn to. Jesus shows Mary how lost she is without him as he revealed himself to her, because in her human eye, she could not see it. And the more she knows of the risen Christ, she'll know more about herself and know how much she is loved by Jesus. So this morning, I really want to stress on this, like the love of Jesus through the resurrection power. And I know for Christianity, for the longest time, although we know that it's not by works, we all try to do good deeds, thinking that by doing good deeds that we would somehow earn heaven, somehow earn his love, and with our performance. But that's not how it is. Jesus finds us where we are. He doesn't care your background. He doesn't care anything that you're going through. The more you need him, the more you're lost, Jesus is going to come and find right where you are. And that's who Jesus that we worship is. And so for us to know that we are loved by the King, to know that we are loved by the resurrected King, is something that is so hard, so difficult, so good to be true. And that's the message of the resurrection, by the way. Moreover, this is what I believe Jesus was really trying to convey when he revealed himself to Mary, Keller explained. And please listen to this carefully. And I know that this is something that we all are battling, especially our younger ones in today's time are battling. There's no place in history more than Western culture more obsessed about identity. I witnessed that. I come from Southeast Asia. We don't really care about our rights and our identity because that's just how it is. Whatever you get, you're just happy, just roll with it. But as Keller explained, there's no place in history more than Western culture more obsessed about identity. We're always trying to find out who we are. And then the culture narrative is you look inside and you decide who you are. And then you assert it. And you don't care what anybody else thinks. That's the culture narrative, and that's impossible. Let me explain to you why. Because we are social beings, and we are never going to have a secure identity just by looking inside and deciding who we want to be, then asserting it. Friends, the way we get a secure identity is that someone you adore adores you. Let me repeat. Someone you adore adores you. Someone that you respect respects you. Someone you love comes and loves you and affirms you. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to Mary. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to all of us today. And he said, I, the greatest being in the universe, loved you personally and expensively, even to the point of death at the cross for you. And he said, I will love you eternally. Friends, this is what Jesus is telling you today. As Jesus said, Mary, he knows her. He sees her through. And Mary knows how much she loves her rabbi teacher. And she felt the love of Christ. Church, this is what Christ is telling us today. I know many of us are already born again Christian, but I know this is important for us to hear. This is what Jesus is telling us as he was resurrected on the third day. He says, Church, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. And this is what he said. I died for you. I died for you. I have overcome the death, and you will live with me forever in my Father's place. This is the message of the resurrection, guys. He's also saying to you, the more you know me, the more you love me as the risen Lord, and the more you experience my love, the more you will discover who you are, that you are loved. You are loved. Well, perhaps you might be thinking this morning, well, how can anyone love me? I'm no good. I'm a mess. And no hope is left for me. As a matter of fact, you may wonder, how can anyone say my sins have been forgiven? And you might be thinking, you have no idea the stuff I did. You know what? Jesus doesn't care. Your sins have been forgiven, and they were erased. And they were remembered no more. And Jesus says, even after I die, I will live forever. And even after you die, you will live forever in the new heavenly bodies. Yes, this is too good to be true. And it's true that we are going to get new bodies, by the way. Bodies that's never going to go weak or die. Because they'll be like Christ's glorious body after his resurrection. Wouldn't that be awesome, guys? We're going to have no more sicknesses. We're going to have to struggle anymore. We're going to have new bodies. Guys, this is too good to be true. And just like the New York diner scene, this is exactly what the resurrection of Christ is offering us. For everyone, for not only for the religious leaders, for not only those people who are accomplished, or people who are good in the eyes of this world, but Jesus looked at you and said, I love you. I died for you. And this is for you. And this is the gift that I have for you, more than $2 million worth. In eternity, you're going to have a new body, and you're going to be with me forever. Church, Jesus loves you just the way you are. Your sins have been forgiven, and now he's ready to walk with you on the path of sanctification, to become more like him each day, while he has already promised us a life in eternity with him in glory. For our closing scriptures today, let us look to Romans 5:8. Remember, Christ died for you and have loved you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus is inviting you this morning to believe in him. Know that he died for you and he loves you. And Romans 12:2. He is inviting us this morning not to conform ourselves to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in the resurrected Jesus. Christ's death and his resurrections provide truth and grace, his mercy and his love for us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us your Son, Jesus. And that we can know him personally, not just as a dead rabbi, teacher, but as a living Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you have saved us by your grace, not by our works. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of resurrection. Yes, Lord, they are too good to be true. And Lord, all we can say this morning is thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Church, if there's anyone this morning who have felt the love of the risen Lord in the way that you have never felt before, and that you want to experience more of his love in your life. In other words, if you wanted to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, I want to invite you, wherever you are. You don't have to stand up, but if you want to stand up, by all means. And if you do, I'm going to ask people next who are sitting close to you to stand around and lay hands on them. Jesus loves you, and he died for you, and he is calling you to come into his glorious presence this morning. So if that is you this morning, I would like you to just wherever you are, just to pray this sinner's prayer with me. And if you would like to stand, by all means, please, you may stand, and we're going to put our hands around you, and we'll be praying for you. Feel free to do that, wherever you are right now. I'm going to close this time with a sinner's prayer. And if it was you that who wanted to receive Christ, just pray with me in your heart and just agree with me this morning. Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I need and want your forgiveness this morning. I accept your death as a penalty for my sin and recognize that your mercy and grace is a gift you offer to me because of your great love, not based on anything that I have done. Thank you, God. Cleanse me and make me as your child this morning. By faith, I receive you into my heart as a Son of God and a Savior and Lord of my life. From now on, help me live for you, with you in control in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can I have the music team back up?
Let's pray together. Lord God, what an awesome thing it is to be part of your family, part of the company of the saints that have been brought into your fellowship, God, because of Jesus' death and his resurrection. God, accept our praise and our thanks today. Help us to go from here carrying that with us, Lord, that heartfelt celebration, Lord, because of all that you've done for us. So we thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Amen.